Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, NFL fans out there. This is John Kuzma from EndZoneBlog.com's Across the Middle show, where we talk about all the current events as far as the NFL goes. I guess you can say we cover the AAF a little bit too, but probably the XFL someday down the line. But for now, NFL, AAF, mainly NFL. Thank you guys for listening. We're going to talk about the New York Jets today. The New York Jets upgraded their coaching staff with the Adam Gase and Greg Williams hires. Now they need to go get the best players available and put it all together. So the New York Jets will head into free agency with about $95 million in cap space, and that means they'll be able to throw some big offers at some of the players on the open market. One name that's been mentioned several times is Le'Veon Bell. While Bell would be a splash, it's a risky move for New York because he missed the entire 2018 season. Those lack of reps will definitely hurt, and the Jets should probably avoid ponying up that much money for someone who's had reliability issues over the past 12 months. It might be a better option to go with a more affordable player on offense and sign someone like Tevin Coleman at the running back position. The Jets could pick up a couple of mid-level receivers like Jamison Crowder and Breshad Perriman and, you know, round out the receiver position. I just think, you know, go get those guys that are good players that you don't completely break the bank for. And what that would do, it would leave the team with enough funds to transition to Williams' 4-3 defense. The biggest change in that system is switching from outside linebackers and Todd Bowles, you know, 3-4 defense who rush to defense ends who can turn the corner and sack the quarterback. There's two guys that fit that style of play perfectly, and those individuals are DeMarcus Lawrence and Frank Clark. If you can get one of those two and also sign Anthony Barr, then the Jets would improve a lot. You know, Williams should also bump Leonard Williams, Big Cat Williams, inside to a defensive tackle spot and seriously consider drafting another defensive end in April. You know, the new coaching staff as a whole is actually an upgrade over Todd Bowles' staff, and they should be particularly better on the offensive side of the ball. You know, Adam Gase will be much better than Jeremy Bates was in 2018. And Williams actually might be a tad bit better than Todd Bowles was too. So things are definitely looking up in the Big Apple. And, you know, back to the Todd Bowles and Greg Williams thing, you know, Greg Williams won the Super Bowl with the Saints, which has been around for a very, very long time. I just think his experience is it's almost a wash. I think Williams is slightly better than Bowles. But one thing Bowles does do well is he's a moral leader. He represents the organization well. And Greg Williams, I guess you could say, is a little bit more of a risk taker than Todd Bowles is. And we know he's had some trouble in the past. You know, he got in trouble for the Bounty Gate thing, lighting up Brett Favre when I think Brett Favre was on the Vikings. But, you know, collectively, you know, no individual is like a landslide better than Todd Bowles, but collectively, you know, you got an offensive specialist in Adam Gase. You have a defensive specialist in Greg Williams. Now you got to get rid of the 3-4 scheme and implement a 4-3 scheme because that's what Greg Williams runs. In order to do that, you get rid of the outside backers who are pass rushers, and you get 4-3 defensive ends who, like I said, can turn the corner, get around the offensive tackles, or spin inside. And what the biggest difference is between those two players, and sometimes a defensive end can play outside linebacker, not offensive linebacker, can switch to D end, and they can make that transition smoothly. But really the biggest difference is typically defense ends in a 4-3 are a little bit bigger. They're kind of tall, lanky guys. And outside linebackers are a little bit more mobile because they're asked to drop in coverage a little bit more than, say, a 4-3 defense end who's pretty much rushing the passer on every single snap. So you want just the perfect pass rusher to revamp that defense that Greg Williams is trying to put in. So I don't think you really want to play Leonard Big Cat Williams at a 4-3 D end because he's a heavy end. He's more of a 3-4 end. And your 3-4 ends are kind of like another tackle, a defensive tackle. So I think you bump Big Cat in, and, I mean, he can do it. If he can play nose in the 3-4 scheme, he can definitely play one of the defensive tackle positions in a 4-3. So he's going to be fine, you know, kicking into an interior defensive lineman spot. And then, like I said, if you can get Frank Clark or DeMarcus Lawrence, obviously one of those guys would really help that scheme transition over to this new era that they're approaching. And then from there, you know, you got to definitely clean up the offense with affordable players. I don't think you should go Le'Veon Bell and spend all your money on one guy. Get Tevin Coleman, get Jamison Crowder, get Breshad Perriman. That's going to definitely upgrade the wide receiver position for Sam Darnold. Tevin Coleman showed a lot as a running back this year, not just as a runner, but also he can leak out of the backfield and catch some passes and add that extra element to the Jets offense. And remember, you're seeing guys like all over the league, you know, become these scat back type of players, you know, Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara, Sweet Feet James White up there in New England, even though he didn't have the greatest playoff run this year. You know, the last couple of years we've seen what he could do. You know, even Chris Thompson was doing it a little bit there in Washington. So I think Tevin Coleman can be that type of player and really add another facet of the game to the Jets offense and help Sam Darnold just with check downs out of the backfield. He can dump it off or whatever and let Tevin Coleman get a little bit or even move the chains. The other thing I want to talk about, the next topic, you know, same old song and dance. The Atlanta Falcons need to fix their problems on the defensive side of the ball if they want to get back to winning. With another season in the books, the Atlanta Falcons are searching for answers on the defensive side of the ball once again. We know Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, and Calvin Ridley are going to score points, but none of that matters if the Falcons can't keep their opponents out of the end zone. With that being said, Atlanta has about $28 million in cap space available. They also could add another $12 million to that number by releasing Vic Beasley. Now, Beasley is an undersized defense end, and Thomas Dimitroff should choose to take the money over the player. Then Dimitroff has to do everything he can to prevent Grady Jarrett from leaving. You know, Grady Jarrett's a free agent. Whether you have to franchise tag him or whether you open up the checkbook and ink him to a long-term deal, that has to be done. The Falcons need to win in the A and B gaps, and Grady Jarrett can give you that. You know, if they want to generate some interior pressure, that's how you do it. And then the quickest, you know, you got to remember the quickest way to the quarterback is right up the gut, and Jarrett is going to set the tone for that group. So that's step one. I think you let Vic Beasley go because he's a little bit undersized, and even though he could kind of qualify as a speed rusher at the 4-3 position, I think you can let him go and actually, you know, let Bruce Irvin play one of the 4-3 defensive end spots. And even though Vic Beasley is a better player at this point in time, I think just saving the money would probably be the better option there. And then if somehow the front office could find a way to also bring in Ndamukong Suh, it would completely turn that defense around. Jarrett and Suh would, you know, cut down on any runs, and there wouldn't be very much time to pass either. The other area that needs improvement is the cornerback position, you know, and if you can use the remaining funds to land someone like Steven Nelson, who would create some turnovers and probably end up taking, you know, Desmond Trufant's starting job at some point, you know, that could be those two players, Suh and Steven Nelson, immediately change things. And obviously you got to bring Grady Jarrett back too. So that's really, the the main building block for this defense. It all starts with having Grady Jarrett and not Ndamukong Suh up front, because those guys are going to help you win at the line of scrimmage. They're going to wreak havoc. They're going to create chaos, whether it's a run or a pass, and that immediately tilts the odds in the Atlanta Falcons' favor on defense. So, and Ndamukong Suh, I think he made $14 million with the Los Angeles Rams this past year. I have to believe that they're going to probably try to get him to play for $10 million or $12 million. They're going to try to save or pinch a few pennies, I guess you can say, because they got a lot of people they got to pay. And I really think, you know, Dimitroff should just open up his checkbook, offer 1 year, $16 million. Because if you make it compelling enough where Sue's like, okay, I'm just going to go with the money, because we have heard that Sue has, you know, ambitions after football to be an owner someday. He wants to own a pro sports team someday. So he's trying to, you know, accumulate as much money as he can as a player. With that in mind, if, you know, LA is trying to make him take a cut to $10, $12 million, I think you got to go high, offer him 1 year, $16 million. Then you can use the rest of that money to get someone like Steven Nelson, you know, because the cornerbacks haven't been good enough. I don't think Trufant even had an interception last year. I think, what's the other guy's name? Like Isaiah Oliver, I think it is. I think he might have had one interception. So between your two cornerbacks to have one interception, it's not enough. Steven Nelson, I think, had four picks last year. So if you can get him, he's going to pick some balls off. And then Jarrett and Sue alone are going to cause some quarterbacks to throw some ill-advised throws. Even the guys you already have are going to be better if Ndamukong Suh comes in, because now the pocket is collapsing and these quarterbacks are freaking out because they think they're going to get hammered by Grady Jarrett or Sue. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, Sue slowed down in the regular season. He did. He didn't have the greatest regular season, but I don't know if you guys watched the playoffs. Aaron Donald, you know, he has the defensive player of the year, regular season, 20 sacks. But in the playoffs, Aaron Donald didn't have a single sack. That's true. It kind of makes you wonder if he struggles against elite competition. But Ndamukong Suh in the playoffs lit it up. So that, I think, it was huge for Sue's value, because he showed that he can play at a high level. I think being in the playoffs, which Sue hasn't been a whole lot over the course of his career, I think that motivated him. And clearly, you know, that Saints game, I think he had 1.5 sacks. There were so many run plays that he was blowing up. He had a lot of TFLs. He was just making more of an impact in the playoffs for whatever reason. Maybe Aaron Donald, spent all his energy through the regular season and just didn't have much left in the tank when the playoffs came around. And maybe Sue was taking plays off in the regular season, and that allowed him to really turn it up in the playoffs. But for whatever reason, Sue had a better playoffs than Donald. And just from a value standpoint, that was big for Sue, because it let people know around the league that he does still have it a little bit. In the draft, to clean things up, you go get another end, or you go get another linebacker, probably a linebacker, because I think you can get by with Bruce Irvin and Takaris McKinley, but you really want to get another linebacker to clean that group up. Whoever you feel can be that guy. And really, I think that could round out that group. Atlanta would at least be able to be competitive again. And we know that, like I said, you know, Matt Ryan, you know, Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley, they're going to rack up offense. So you got to get stops. You got to get the team off the field on third down. You have to keep it competitive on the defensive side of the ball, you know. And if you saw a lot of Atlanta's games this past year, they were always in shootouts. So that can't happen. You have to get off the field more often is basically the simplest way you can say it. And I think, you know, with those improvements, you definitely could do that. I'm John Kuzma, though. That's all I have. I appreciate it. Go check out endzoneblog.com. Thank you guys for tuning in. I'm signing off. I hope you guys have a great day. Take care.